Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As many of you know, a few weeks ago, about 50 of us from our congregation, we went to watch the Everett Silvertips play hockey, which was a really, really fun outing. We hired a bus to take us down there to Everett through the Navy Recreation. Thanks again to those who set that up with the Navy base so we could get the bus, and thanks to Lydia Circle again for paying for it for us. It was really fun. The bus, it was neat, the bus took us right down and dropped us right in front of the hockey arena. So we just got off the bus and there we were. It was able to drop us off right there. But the thing is, as we were dropped off right in front of the hockey arena, there was, right where we stopped, there was a street corner preacher there that night. He had all of his signs out warning people of the wrath of God. He had a bullhorn that he was barking into as people were walking past. He was taunting them, listing off all the sins that had them destined for hell. He was telling people to repent or burn. I was the first one off the bus because I needed to get the tickets and get everything organized. So I saw a lot of these people as they were passing by this street corner preacher, and they were hurrying past him, let me tell you. Many of them rolling their eyes or visibly cringing as they were going past. I saw children walking past who looked terrified. And my heart just sank. My heart sank because it seems like this guy is following me every sporting event I ever go to. He seems to be there. So my heart sank for that reason. But even more so, my heart sank for all those people for whom this might be their only exposure to Christianity. My heart sank for those kids who looked so scared. My heart sank because I was wearing one of our Oak Harbor Lutheran Church hoodies, so I was visibly identified as a church person, right? 3/4 of our group, I think, were wearing our Oak Harbor Lutheran hoodies with our logo on it. So we were obviously a church group getting off this bus right next to the street corner preacher, and it was terribly embarrassing. And you know what I wanted to do? I'm a little bit ashamed to admit this to you this morning. What crossed my mind was that I wished that I'd had a coat so I could cover up my hoodie with our Oak Harbor Lutheran Church logo on it. So I could cover up that logo, cover up that cross in the middle of our design. For a few moments, I wanted to hide my identity as a Christian. Not something I'm proud of, but I'm admitting that's how I felt in that moment. It passed with time as we got into the arena, and eventually when our church name came up on the Jumbotron, we were all cheering, and it was great, so we weren't hiding it then. But for a moment, at least for myself, I wanted to hide the fact that I was a Christian. I don't think I was the only one in that moment. Now, this was a unique situation, of course, but I don't think it's really that uncommon for people to want to hide the fact that they are a follower of Jesus. There are many times and places where we might feel like we want to hide the fact that we are Christians. Maybe it's because we don't want to associate ourselves with a street corner preacher or a tacky televangelist or with abusive priests. Sometimes that's the case. But sometimes I think it's simply easier for us to keep it to ourselves. We are taught often that religion is a private matter, that it's not appropriate, something to bring up in polite conversation. So it's just easier for us, much of the time, to hide the fact that we are Christians. In our gospel reading for this morning, Jesus makes it clear that there's no such thing as private Christianity. Jesus does not give us the option of keeping this to ourselves. Jesus does not want us to hide the fact that we are his followers. But how we share our faith is important. And Jesus also gives us two helpful images to teach us how we are to take our faith out into the world. First, Jesus says to his followers and to us who are his followers today, he says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, in Jesus' time, salt was valued as a preservative. This is a time where there's no refrigeration. So you would rely on salt to cure your meats and other foods. It was a way of preserving them, stretching out your groceries to last for a while so that you would prevent starvation. Sometimes it was that stark. So salt was this preservative that prevented decay. It prevented things from rotting. Of course, salt was also valued in the ancient world as a flavor enhancer, as it is yet today. It's something that draws out the goodness, something that makes something better. But here's the thing. Salt only does its work when it is scattered. It only does its work when it is spread. It only does its work when it is sprinkled. And so Jesus' followers are to be scattered and spread and sprinkled, but with a specific purpose. We are scattered in order to preserve, bring a measure of preservation to a society and a culture that is always at risk of rot and decay. We are spread out as salt in order to sustain and preserve life. We are sprinkled out into society to make things better so that people can taste God's goodness. And we can't do any of those things if we're hiding away in a cupboard, right? Or within these walls. Jesus makes this even more explicit in the next image that he presents. He tells his followers, "You are the light of the world." And Jesus goes on to say, "A city built on a hill cannot be hid. In the same way, no one takes a lamp and lights it up and then hides it under a bushel basket. That's ridiculous. Instead, you put it on a lampstand so that it can bring light to the entire house." If we can't figure out what he means by this, it's pretty obvious, but just in case, Jesus goes on to interpret this little metaphor for us. He says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This imagery of light that we've been hearing so much about throughout the Epiphany season and here this morning as well, this is a rich image in Scripture. It's found all over the place, and it's rich with different meanings. Sometimes light is a symbol of truth. The psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway." So light can stand for the truth of God's word. Light also is a symbol for hope. So you have biblical writers like Isaiah and John and others who talk about this light shining in the darkness. It's a sign of hope in the midst of a dark world. The image of light is also a sign of life. As John says in the opening chapters of his gospel, that Jesus is the light that is the life of all people. Jesus calls us, his followers, to be the light of the world, to shine the light of truth and hope and life. But no one's going to see it, Jesus says, if you hide it. And so Jesus calls us to shine with these good works. He calls us to shine with the good works of love and mercy and compassion. He calls us to shine with good works of charity and justice. He calls us to shine with the good works of reconciliation and the good works of holiness and the good works of witness. We're called to live our lives in such a way that people would see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. These works will not save us. Read the rest of the Bible and you'll find out that that's the case. These works will not save us. That's Jesus' job alone. It's only Jesus' righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. It's only Jesus' righteousness that can get us into the kingdom of heaven. So our works will not save us. But our good works just might point someone else to the saving work of Christ. Our good works might just point someone else to his righteousness. They might point someone to his salvation as they see these good works and start to give glory to our Father in heaven. We are salt and light as we do and teach the commandments, as Jesus calls us to do in our gospel reading for today. We are salt and we are light as we serve our neighbors in this community. So, for instance, as Stephen ministers are sprinkled out into our community to be with those who are hurting, or as volunteers are sprinkled out into our community to provide hospitality and food to the homeless and the poor at Spin Cafe and other venues like Help House. We serve our neighbors in our community. We are salt and light as we share good things with our neighbors here, whether it's our high school neighbors as they come over for Munchie Monday, or as we've been bringing snacks over to Hillcrest Elementary now to try to build a relationship with our neighbors over there. And I have to tell you, just this past week, I took a big load of stuff over to Hillcrest, cases of fruit snacks and granola bars and goldfish crackers, and you should have seen the faces light up when I walked into the school office there. The principal was walking by, her face lit up. Some of the counselors were there, their faces lit up. Tanya, the office manager there, she just lit up to seeing all this stuff. And somebody, I could have planted somebody to say this, but somebody said it spontaneously. He said, "Where did all this good stuff come from?" Of course, I had to say, "Oak Harbor Lutheran Church," right? I'm not going to hide that. Jesus says, "Let people see your good works so they would give glory to your Father in heaven." That seems counterintuitive to a lot of us as Lutheran Christians, but this is Jesus here. "Let your light so shine that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." We are salt and we are light. We are salt and we are light as we open our doors to recovering addicts who meet here for Narcotics Anonymous meetings. We are salt and we are light as we open our doors to those who are grieving and meet here for our grief support groups. We are salt and we are light as we open our doors to broken families who come here for CADA meetings, or struggling military families who come here for Navy respite care. In those cases, these very walls become the arms of God, welcoming people in to begin to receive healing and hope. We are salt and we are light as our ministry stretches out and is sprinkled about all over the world, as we care for orphans and widows through our partnership with Watoto in Uganda, or as we support Nick and Shannon, our missionaries in Peru, as they share the light of the gospel down there, or as we sprinkle quilts and school kits and health kits all over the world through our partnership with Lutheran World Relief. "Let your light so shine before others that they would see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven," Jesus says. I understand the impulse to want to hide it. I felt it. I'm convicted by this reading this morning as much as anybody else here today. So I understand the impulse to want to hide the fact that we are followers of Jesus. But as I read this text, I've seen that Jesus doesn't really give us that option. Jesus sends us out so that people would see our good works. Jesus has us to go public as his followers. He wants us to be visible. He wants us to shine. This does not mean barking at people through bullhorns. It doesn't mean taunting people with their sins as they walk by, trying to scare people into the kingdom of heaven. Instead, it means being salt, being like the salt of the earth, being scattered and spread and sprinkled all around so that our good works would sustain and preserve life in this world, preventing it from the rot and decay the world always seems to be teetering towards, bringing a measure of God's goodness to those around us. Being public about our faith means being light, shining the light of truth for all to see. To be sure, this truth of God is not always candy-coated. It's not always easy to hear. The street-corner preacher at least gets that part right. We're called to be salt and not sugar, right? We're going to hear more of this as we continue in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount next week. He's got some difficult things that he'll put to us in his own sermon next week. But the gospel should always be heard in such a way that it is ultimately good news. That's what Jesus calls us to proclaim, is the good news of his coming, the good news of the kingdom. Yes, we speak truth, but we are called to speak the truth in love. We're called to speak it in such a way that it brings hope in the midst of darkness. We're called to speak it in such a way that light can shine into someone's life, bringing them the new life that Christ has to give them. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. You are the light of the world. Jesus states this as a present reality. He states it as simply a done deal. That's the case. So Jesus isn't just describing what we are to do. He is declaring who we are as his people. His word makes it so. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let's not hide it, for this is who we are. This is who he has made us to be. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like you to stand as you're able now as we sing our hymn of the day.